Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hole, on The Hole Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
Minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back to The Hole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. Joining me now on our First Advantage hotline is Brendan Vogt with DNVR Nuggets, DNVR Sports, all over the place. Brendan, this is the first time getting you on the show, man. Very pumped to get you on the program, my friend.
Happy to be here, man. Nice to virtually meet you, I guess, so to speak. But I know you and Harrison got a nice thing going. Hopefully I don't mess that up.
Right? Harrison's a great guy. And Harrison, he was texting me during the show. He's like, oh, man, I completely spaced. I got something going on. But Brendan's awesome. He's at this press conference. So he's going to jump. So, Brendan, I got to tell you, this is the first time I've ever had a guest on that we prepped in mid-show. So we have never done this before. I've always kind of known before the show starts who I'm going to have on. So this is history today, my man.
Let's do it. Let's make it. No pressure. No pressure.
Zero pressure. Zero pressure at all. All right. So you're this closing season press conference type of deal. Michael Malone saying some very interesting things. Kind of wanted to get your thoughts as far as your biggest takeaway of as far as what Malone's saying, what Calvin Booth's saying. What are your thoughts at the end of this thing?
Sure. Well, it's a good year to ask because these exit interviews in the past with the brass have typically followed a script. You know, for a while there, the Nuggets, they banked on continuity and they got better every season. And now obviously there's a bit of a slide following the injuries. Malone today, it was very clear that his goal was to see this team improve in the offseason. We've heard the message about we believe in the continuity, but we believe in the guys we have and bringing them back. And I felt like this time around, it sounded a lot more like we cannot rest on our laurels. For how many regular season games the Nuggets have won, and for however well this rebuild has gone, they haven't accomplished their ultimate goal, which is winning a title. And so they've got to get back into that mindset. You know, the injury grace period is over now, and it's all about improving this summer and not missing this opportunity that Jokic presents.
Brendan, did you get a sense, and again, I think the Nuggets organization has been very good and professional with both Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr., not letting any frustration seep out or anything like that. But did you almost get this sense where it's like, hey, I get that those guys were hurt, but they have to come back and be ready because we don't want this Joker window to close?
Yes and no. I think with regards to those particular players, Malone was very careful to be clear about tempered expectations, that we can't expect them to look at the peak of their powers and be in peak shape, and it may take a little for them to get going. But for everyone on this roster, from players to the front office to the coaching staff, this offseason can't just be a break. It has to be attacked, whether that's preparation on the court, off the court, mentally, just sort of understanding that whatever that last year was where everyone sort of accepted this team couldn't contend with those injuries, that grace period is gone now. And they've got to get back into that, keep their eye on the prize, championship is the ultimate goal mentality. So for those guys, I think he doesn't want to pressure them to work too hard in the offseason, but he does want to see a collective focus from this organization.
We're talking to Brendan Vogt with DNVR, DNVR Nuggets. And Brendan, I was reading some of the quotes that you were sharing out, that Harrison was sharing out. And when you hear... when you read Michael Malone say things like, hey, we got to build the best team around the Joker. I guess my brain goes to, I get it, but what are you going to do? Because you look at all the contracts, the Nuggets are, you know, the four big contracts there with the Joker. Well, we're assuming even bigger coming here soon for the Joker. Aaron Gordon, Michael Porter Jr., and Jamal Murray. What realistic pieces do you think they can add, whether that's in the trade side of things or in free agency?
Yeah, they're in the really tough part of team building now, right? In that their top-end talent is expensive. They paid to keep them where they are. And so improvement, however necessary, extremely difficult as they're trying to hit on all these little moves. on the margins. And to your point, the Nuggets appear very committed to at least this core four of Jokic, you know, Murray, Porter, and Gordon. So what does it look like? Well, there are still some lessons learned this past season and roster construction, injuries notwithstanding. For example, and Malone mentioned this specifically, this is like the third year in a row now where the Nuggets have not had any wings on their roster. They got a lot of smalls, they got a lot of bigs, no real wings. And so that was something Malone mentioned specifically. And then on a more general note, just defense doesn't necessarily have to be immense top-end talent coming in, but do you have guys that are ready to commit on the perimeter where the Nuggets were just not good enough in the first round?
Talking to Brendan Vogt of DNVR Nuggets. It is interesting, you know, how you talked about the end of press conferences. The last few years, the ending press conferences have been, hey, we like our team, we're on the up. It does feel like the Nuggets for the last few years were just moving in that upward trajectory where they were getting better every year. They were getting into the playoffs, they were getting past the first round. We all know what happened in the bubble. You're right, though. This is the first year where it feels like, I don't want to say they hit a brick wall. They went up against the Golden State team at the absolute worst time. But it does feel like they hit somewhat of a plateau where now they have to take that next step.
Yeah, and look, we can all point to the injuries as the obvious explanations, the first layers of why that happened. But the reality is, I believe in organizational momentum, and it's something Denver had plenty of. And after back-to-back, you know, playoff runs being cut short because of injury, really unceremonious endings, a sweep, a gentleman's sweep. Is there a danger of some of that momentum stalling out? So Malone called this the most important offseason to date that he's been in Denver. And I got the same sense from Tim Connelly as well. Of course, we heard from Calvin Booth today. We spoke with Connelly a few days ago. And I just do get the sense that while they understand the injuries were significant factors, they don't want to just fall back on that line, and they feel they have to do their due diligence to improve this team in the margins.
How much pressure is on Michael Malone next season?
That's a good question. He is extended. He is extended, but these things can change very quickly in the NBA. And like we just said, climbing that mountain, now they've gone backwards 2 years in a row. And few people really feel bad for you about injuries and all of that. I think some of the pressure is mounting. I don't know if he feels it, but I think it's there. At a certain point, Michael Malone has done the job with this rebuild, and the next job is winning a title. And I get the sense that he really understands that's where they're at now. You know, in the media, we like to say title or bust. For them, it's just it has to be laser-sharp focus on a collective goal, because anything less than a title at this point is coming up short.
We're talking to Brendan Vogt of DNVR Sports, DNVR Nuggets. And Brendan, I've made this comparison. I don't know if it's fair or not, but I look at Golden State, and right when they knocked out the Nuggets years ago, and that end, you know, set up the end for George Karl and Masai Ujiri moved on, all of that stuff. They went on a couple of years with Mark Jackson, and then they said, okay, Mark, you helped us build this team up. It's a really good team. We feel like it's a championship team. So what are we missing here? They move on from Jackson. They go with Steve Kerr. We all know the history there. Three titles later, a big free agent signing with Kevin Durant. Maybe another one coming. That's where I look at the pressure and go, okay, if Malone can't get there, I don't know, next season or get close or make that step, do you ever see, like, and I'm talking in the next 2 years, would the Nuggets pull up Golden State and almost say, hey, we can replace Malone. We got to get a guy that can now take them over the hump, so to speak.
It certainly doesn't feel imminent right now, but is it on the table? Of course. I mean, what if they come back healthy and there's another first or second round exit and it looks ugly? You know, they talk about the organization doing their due diligence to improve. At some point, that would include a front office looking at the coaching situation. So I don't think he's there yet. I certainly think he should get one more run with a healthy squad before we start thinking about what he can and can't do. But that question, I think, has been raised, and I think it's going to hang over a little bit. He's got the security from the extension, but I'm sure he understands, an NBA lifer, that things can change very quickly in this business, and the expectations have changed. It's time to win a title now.
It's crazy how it works, isn't it? I mean, for the longest time, we were like, wow, Malone's got the, you know, taken over from Brian Shaw every year, just got a little bit better than the year before. And we were in this wonderful world of growth for the Nuggets. And now here we are. I mean, that's how it's supposed to go, though, right?
Windows close quicker than we think. Malone used that line again today. So I do think, maybe not pressure, Brady, but let's say urgency. He feels it. And I think he wants to exude that right now within the organization.
Brendan, if you had to guess, and I know we got to look at contracts and everything, and I've got their payroll and everything in front of me here, what does the starting lineup look like for Denver next year? I mean, do you see the main question? I mean, obviously we know Joker's going to be there. Gordon, you see Monte Morris. Jamal Murray, is there a chance you go Jamal Murray at two and maybe you start a Monte Morris or even a Bones Highland? I think he took some pretty big strides as a rookie this season.
I think you get to those lineups. Do you have to start them? I don't know, and I don't necessarily expect them to. You look at the five, if everyone's healthy, if you're doing due diligence, you're looking to upgrade, and Malone has identified defense, perimeter defense is just that. You look at Will Barton, right? And is there a trade that can be made there to improve defensively? I'm one of the people that feel very confident. Had this team stayed healthy post-trade deadline, he fit in quite well with that group. But we're a couple years later now. You know, that ship has sailed, and physically, he looks a bit of a different player, so due diligence, I think, would include looking at that shooting guard spot. If there's a way to improve defensively, it has to be thought about long and hard.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And again, we talk about pressure on Michael Malone. I really thought, Brendan, that, and again, I know we could talk for hours about the players and just the storylines, but I thought that this year was going to be a huge kind of prove-it year for both Michael Porter Jr. and Jamal Murray, if Jamal ever came back. And we knew that that was probably going to be March, but then, of course, didn't happen. Michael Porter Jr., I thought, took major strides last season, but then he was virtually shut down in the playoffs. So what I wanted to see was, can he... You know, can he learn to get out of those double teams? Can he figure out how to get, you know, drive and get down into the paint and kick out whatever? Obviously, we didn't see that. Jamal Murray, on the other hand, we saw him in the bubble. He was like an MVP in the bubble. Then the next year, very good, but not bubble Jamal Murray. So last year was that year that I thought, man, this is a big prove-it year for both of those guys to take that next step. Jamal maybe to MVP, maybe all-star status, to be fair. And then Michael Porter Jr. just to keep taking that next step. So I'm very curious to see how next year goes for both of those guys.
Absolutely. And, you know, the tragedy behind losing those dudes, beyond just not having them on the court, is losing out on collecting that data, right? Jamal very much appeared to be entering a peak or a leap of sorts as a guard, hitting all-star caliber play. I agree with you. You know, it wasn't just the shot-making in the bubble. I thought he turned a corner with his conditioning. I thought he looked more capable physically, athletically. He looked great, and that's when young guards really start to thrive. So for him to lose out on that time, it's a real bummer. And, of course, that applies to Porter as well. It's not just that he's not on the court helping the team. These are the early years in his career where he could be learning some lessons, ironing out the mistakes, turning himself into a playoff player. And so this is valuable time for a young player to have missed. How he approaches this offseason, where his mind's at, these are big, big questions. Hopefully these guys are ready to go and hit the ground running in camp, because this is missed time, and it's missed important time for them to learn more about themselves and for the team to collect that data.
Yeah, no question, man. Well said on that side of it. Last couple for you, Brendan. Nikola Jokic, when can we expect... I mean, everything sounds great for that max contract. When can we expect that to get done?
As soon as they can. Yeah, as soon as Jokic gets back. I cannot express how little concern there is within the org.
Wow.
This is... Jokic has really made this clear. You know, he believes in the process of trying to get better, of pursuing a collective goal with his teammates. He thinks they're close. He thinks they've built something special. I think he wants to be a part of it. He wants to see it through. And it's not just about Denver, too. I think that says a lot about Jokic, who he is, the type of star that he is, and what a blessing that is for the brass in Denver trying to build a team. I mean, think about, they won a title now. It worked out. But think about all the pressure in Milwaukee. They traded five firsts for Jrue Holiday and maxed him just to keep Giannis. There's a chance that doesn't work, and that's a disaster. You know, Denver never really had to do that calculation, and what a blessing that is.
All right, last one for you. I'm seeing rumors, and I've seen some rumors that taken down since about Joel Embiid. Is Friday going to be a day where maybe he's announced as an MVP? I couldn't believe some of these. I went to look at those tweets. They've been since deleted from some guys at Fox Sports or whatever. Joker's going to get the MVP, right?
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Unless the publicly disclosed votes. Unless those folks were just lying, we've seen enough to know.
Right?
This has come in Jokic's way. Speaking of lying, I'm not really sure what there is to gain beyond angering two entire cities by sending that tweet out. But I wouldn't worry about it. I think that MVP is coming to Jokic. And that'll be official soon enough.
All right, man. Brandon, fantastic work for you by you. Thanks for doing this on short notice. I would love to do it again on a regular basis, my friend.
You let me know, brother. My pleasure.
All right, my friend. There it is. Brendan Vogt of DNVR Nuggets. Great, dude. Wow. That was awesome. That was awesome. We planned that five seconds before he got on. Great interview. Love that. Brought it, made the show much better. 48 minutes after the hour, we're going to wrap up the show on the other side. Let's get to what's on TV. And speaking of false reporting, what was going on with The Athletic last night? We'll talk about it next.
It's baseball season, and the Colorado Rockies can be heard on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.